Brooklyn.
No, I never felt this way before.
Never felt
yes,
this
I swear
way.
It's the truth, and I hope it.
Hello, 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 hello. This is What Is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And this is you, your favorite, Sasha Sugar. I hope I'm your favorite, but maybe not. Hope you all are having a great Sunday afternoon. I know it's freezing, so you must be at home right now. So please tune in on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're going to have a great chat today about... I'll tell you in a second what about we're going to be talking. I hope you appreciated the opening track. It's from one of my favorite movies, Dirty Dancing. And the reason I chose this song as an opening for today's show. Wait, hold on. I'm actually Facebook Live-ing and my hand is tired. One sec. Let me just finish it. All right. It's over now. So today's show is about love between artists, love at an artist residency. So I was thinking a long time for what song is about love between artists. I mean, there are no real songs about love between artists. And then I thought, well, I'll just find a song that was created by a collaboration of two singers. And this the song, I've Had the Time of My Life by Bill Medley and Jennifer Warnes. And in addition to that, this song was played in Dirty Dancing, showing love created during the art of dancing. I know it's kind of a stretching analogy, but anyways. So today's show on What is Love, today's theme on What is Love show is love at an artist residency. And I'm more than delighted to introduce my guests, Beryl Gundus and Ariel. What's your last name, Ariel?
Rubinsky.
Okay, you've heard it. Can you speak a bit louder?
Yes, Rubinsky, yeah.
Great, awesome. the reason why I invited Beryl and Ariel is Beryl actually owns, she co-founded a Brooklyn residency in Williamsburg. It's called The Hollows. And Ariel is the current resident. She's a fiber artist and she's currently residing at The Hollows. So we're going to have a lot of first-hand information about what it is happening at an artist residency when a bunch of artists from all over the world come together in the same space. And of course, they shape some kind of relationship. Beryl, would you like to start? Just give us an idea of what Hollows is, what kind of, you know, mission you guys have, what artists you accept, just to let us start the show.
Sure. Thanks for having us. So The Hollows is now in Williamsburg. Before, we were very close to here in Bushwick. And then it's a live-work exhibit space where we have bedrooms and studio spaces. And then we also turn the space into a gallery by removing all the furniture for the opening nights.
Okay, great. So you are international, right? You accept artists from all over the world.
Yes.
And what's the selection process? Do you first decide on the theme of the, April mm-hmm. theme is fabric, whatever. And that's why you, sorry, I'm throwing this, words, whatever, because I'm not an artist and I'm an outsider. Don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Or will you, or just people apply on your website and then based on what the applications are, you decide on the next theme?
Yeah, there is a team, like a committee or a small committee, people for selection, But what we do is we put together some themes for the upcoming shows, and then it's for inspiring people, and it's interesting to see people producing new work, seeing their practice and styles.
Have you come across any common features or traits in the artists that work with a specific tool, a specific material, or a specific genre?
Well, I can say, for example, sculpture is always very interesting because there are so many materials, and often resident artists, they're younger and they want to experiment with new materials that they haven't played with before. So usually sculpture projects are very exciting. They form at the very end, or like during the opening day, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So you think the people who work, artists who work with sculpture, they are more, would you say they are more open-minded to experiment?
Yes, new materials, like painters, they know what they're doing.
Okay. Do you think it, from your experience, right, do you think it translates into their relationship with other people and other artists? Hmm. This kind of passion for experimenting and not knowing what to do when it comes to, let's say, sculpture artists?
I see you're trying to tie it to love now.
Right, yeah, because it's all about his love show.
Okay. So, yeah, I read about it. It's not my thought, but I think art making is all like a call for mate, to find a mate. Would you agree?
Art making is a call to find a mate.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes it's like a way to attract attention. So, like, if you're thinking about costumes and fibers and what happens in the natural world, like, animals use feathers and colors and different kind of mating rituals. And I think in art we also kind of have a mating ritual with the viewer. So we use, like, I think, for example, in 21st century art right now, especially in Brooklyn, you always see, like, glitter and things that glow in the dark. And that's kind of it seems to be standing as a mating ritual for queer culture, but oftentimes I feel like it's trying to create an environment,
right,
but a little bit synthetically, like just to grab your attention. So we rely a lot on attention.
But you're talking specifically about fashion and fiber art. But do you think this is applicable to all types of art? This kind of sublime energy or sublime desire to find potentially a mate through your art?
It happens. It's happened to me once. I got like a fan mail letter about my Santa Claus costume that I had in my thesis show in Michigan. And someone said, like, oh, your work gave me a hard-on. Like, it was the best thing I said all night. And I was like, it kind of was like, because I'm really into Santa Claus as like a shaman or artist in the studio, like this kind of wizard figure,
mm-hmm,
or a symbol of it. Like, the fact that he got it, I was like, wow, take him home with me. But I already had a boyfriend at the time, and I did not pursue. But I also think anyone who's vulgar enough to say, gave me a chubby, I was like, oh, maybe I will stay away from that.
I mean, you know, like birds chirp or like ants make trails. You want to put something in the world and show your intelligence, creativity. But also, I think it's a way of dealing with your desire, right? Like, are you going to drink beer? How many cigarettes are you going to smoke? Like, it's, I think, a way to...
So in a way, our art is a way to deal with your desire, or it's a way to... show your desire.
I think also communicate desire. Because I think often art is so much related about sending a message and the other person receiving it. Like in terms of, if we think in terms of telecommunications, and I can't think of the right word now, but like you are sending out a call, like out into outer space, and hopefully someone picks up on that frequency or that message. And I would agree that, like, I think a lot of fashion is predicated on desire. Like, for example, Barbara Vinken, who writes about fashion and, mm-hmm, and the fashion zeitgeist cycles, etc., etc. Her theory is that so much of it is based, fashion is based on transvestitism, which is a very interesting approach, but this idea of the extrapolation of gender.
Okay, well, thanks for your thought. It's quite interesting, and I need to digest it. I need some time. So while I'm doing that, I would love to play a track that Pearls asked me to play, because she really likes this track. and it's called Desire. So guys, this is What is Love on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we'll be back to you in just a few minutes. If you have a question for Peril or Ariel, or if you'd like to share your own experience of a relationship among artists, please call us on 718-928-9732, and I will try to pick up a phone, but sometimes I just don't hear it, but I will try to hear it this time. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is What is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we are back on air. Again, today's topic is love at an artist residency, and I have Peril and Ariel as my guests. Peril is the director and the founder of The Hollows. It's an artist residency in Williamsburg, here in Brooklyn, New York, and Ariel is the current resident at the residency. She's a fiber artist. And if you came up with a smart question, or not so smart, but try to be smart, call us on 718-928-9732, and Peril or Ariel will answer that. So going back to the desire as a one of the main motives to create art, would you say that there is a kind of common sublime energy or internal force that drives all artists or all creative people, and that could be affecting their relationship not just with the art but with others? Or would you say that it's not really about them being artists, it's more about the individuality? I'm just trying to get a sense, since I'm not really an artist, I'm trying to understand if there's any common energy besides that desire to show to the world.
Well, I think there's a kind of sensuality to every medium. So that sensuality, like for me, it's always a fabric, but for some people, it's like using things like latex or even sound. And I think we're always trying to reach, like, not necessarily the ecstatic sense of like sex or the being of a baby, but like I think it's also a kind of, I wouldn't even call it joy, but there's a kind of ecstasy to be reached when you see work that was made with a very specific attention, or it radiates from the work in a very almost like subliminal way. And so I think there, we always try to seek out, it's kind of hard to express, but I think there's, I'll go back to what I said a second ago, like there's a sensuality of every medium, and it's always like finding the core of it, or finding like the root energy of it, and we're always trying to get closer to that rawness and realness. And I think that maybe also happens in love and intimacy, that we're always trying to reach this like omega point where we feel entirely fulfilled. But maybe not always. I mean, some people's work is about being digested.
So, Errol, you personally, when it comes to your relationship, have you, I'm not sure about your status right now when it comes to the relationship. Are you single? Are you in love? Are you in relationship? And if so, is that other person an artist as well?
Ah, okay. So I kind of feel like Pedro Almodóvar when he says that, like, he's married to his work, and like I feel like I'm a little bit married to my studio practice first and foremost. At the moment, I'm quite happily single. I mean, there's some people I've seen, but I don't think it's been anything substantial. Like, I think in New York City, it's almost like he who cares less wins in a way. And like I've heard theories from friends that like men are spoiled in the city, whatever. But
oh yeah, in New York, it's a known fact. It's not even a guess anymore, it's a fact.
Yeah, the proportion is ridiculous. So I feel like it's more important to keep like my studio practices like my true north. Like it's the one thing I feel and also for me, it, like, because I'm interested in Santa Claus as this figure, for me he's like
he's your imaginary kind of boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, he's, the root of him is like the wild man or like a pagan sex god. So if you think of this kind of ecstatic energy through making, that's what I connect with. So.
Oh, okay, but have you been ever in a relationship with the not Santa Claus? Yeah.
Oh, of course. Sure.
with a real daddy?
Yeah, most of them are not Santa Claus, not even close. Yeah, I mean, they've all been interesting in a way. I think it's kind of hard to date a fellow. Like, I've never been with another fellow fiber artist. Actually, I have. I have been with one designer, and it was cool because he was really into costumes, too. But my favorite thing is to find someone that connects with material.
Right.
Because so, I mean, I think...
Were you very similar in the way you approached material and the art, or did you have a lot of differences? Because it always interests me when it comes to artists. How do they deal with the crucial differences in the opinions or preferences when it comes to their work and to the work of other artists?
Yeah.
Let's say I can't really. I'm trying to relate to that. Let's say when I was 19, I was into the heavy metal a lot, and I was hanging out. You know, we had a subculture of heavy metal heads, and I was with those guys. And I remember when, let's say, there was a band that I really enjoyed, and my friends went and joined them, or like my boyfriend had a different view of that band. That was kind of traumatizing for our relationship. Like, we could argue about it forever, and then we would not. We would always have that negative feeling when it came to that band.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I'm not sure that analogy works necessarily for artists, but I kind of think it works.
There's some knee-jerk reactions, like if someone has like very immature, what I would consider immature taste in work, or like depending what filmmaker they like, and you see that they're kind of bullshitting their way to impress you, like what they know about a certain filmmaker, but you're like, no, that doesn't add up at all. Like, usually it comes down to that, and then I feel like this disconnect.
Well, when it's not a bullshit, when it really another person, another artist, your partner just dislike the art that you like, and it's not some immature.
It hurts
immature,
a little bit.
It
yeah.
hurts.
Well, not it hurts, but it's like you feel like your hearts aren't melded in a certain way. Like, not that you don't have to, you have to share the same perspective. Like, I'm always turned on, like, if someone can explain to me, like, the value of Richard Prince, which it was recently explained. I didn't really understand it for a while, but when someone explained it to me, I was, like, really elucidated. But I feel like the same kind of, maybe you don't share the same motivation in a way. And, like, for example, if you want to go see a show, they'll be hesitant. And it's, like, terrible to feel like you're missing something with a certain friend or an experience just because they're, like, being a bit of a baby about it. And I feel like women are often a little bit, I shouldn't generalize, but girls maybe are a bit more open and like, oh yeah, okay, I'll go. Whereas guys are like, no, I don't want to go. And they kind
of... Maybe it's not being open, maybe it's actually being not able to say no to the things that you don't want to do.
It's very true. I would say that's more accurate.
Thanks. Pearl, have you been a part of kind of like maybe an argument between the residents at the Hollows when they were debating about a particular piece of art?
Like art theory debate or?
Not necessarily art theory. It could be just, you know, you overheard that, let's say, an artist A was... highly appreciative of the work of the painting or the sculpture, the Hollows, whereas artist B was just saying, no, it's total crap, but he or she was rationalizing why they thought it was crap or not.
I mean, the relationships at the Hollows between artists, they're all very unique and inspiring. I think one of the best things that happened in the house is the one-on-one encounters, like in any corner of the house. And yeah, these are really inspirational. Like sometimes I see someone reading a book or, for example, Ari has a book by Louis Irigaray, which is also a very inspirational author for me.
Ah, okay. Oh, you mean, sorry, mushing to me. Yeah, I think the best part in the house has also been like when you have an interaction with someone, and I guess thinking about what you had just said earlier, like the opportunity to collaborate that happens, and maybe if you're not on the same wavelength, it's hard to collaborate in the future, like being creative and procreative.
But have you personally been inspired by just observing or watching someone else working?
For sure.
Yeah.
Because everyone has different modes of approaching things, or like even when someone's designing a pattern, like some people work from collage, some people work from painting. It's just like everyone's foundational approach into a concept is different. And I think that's always fascinating. Like when you go into someone's studio and you see samples and you kind of get an idea of how they organize themselves. And then you kind of have this mind meld that's very powerful. Like for example, Max Niemann, who I shared a space with, who's also current resident, like just his excitement about costumes and set design is always very like, it kind of pushes you forward, and it's nice to work, share space with someone that is also has the desire to...
Is that the boy that left the Hollows because of you?
No, it's a different one.
Oh, it's a different one. Okay, I can't wait to get to that boy, but... okay, totally. That was my actually another question about how when it comes to collaboration, and between the artists, and is there for you, you know, there are like different types of collaboration between artists. One of them is becoming somebody's muse, and one of them is becoming partners in creating a new piece of art. Have you been at both of those roles, or when it comes to collaboration, you usually produce another piece of art together?
Usually when it's a collaboration, I feel like I have an idea I already want to send to place, but I don't have like the entire skill set to do it. So it's usually like me seeking some kind of advice, and sometimes it turns into a totally new work, and I appreciate another individual's opinion because we all have different entry points, and we, as artists, we always value the, our opinion is our prerogative, but I think we also have a lot of oversight sometimes in how things can be read or misconstrued.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever worked with on a particular art project with the partner you were intimately involved with?
I tried to, and it failed miserably.
Tell me more about it.
I wanted to have a moon party in Detroit, like a full moon, like
okay.
It was a certain moon, and I told every band that I
full involved- moon. Yeah, it's a very specific type of moon.
Exactly. And I told every band that I invited to sing one song original or a cover about the moon. And the boyfriend I had at the time, I had built a moon bench, like the paper moon postcards that you see people sitting on in vintage photographs. And like he had a bit of a drinking problem. And so like every time he'd be like, be there, help me with this. It was always like some excuse or setback. And to me, it was just like a knife to the heart every single time to feel let down in that way that you can't be. To me, that's like the ultimate creative Well, the ultimate relationship is someone that you can be creative with. Not that you work on every single project with, but that they're open, receptive, bring a different opinion, mm-hmm. or you're pushing each other in different ways in a really positive, impactful way. But he was just like a total
failure. How did it affect your relationship? Did you stay with him after that for a long time, or that lack of collaboration on your project was a checkmark? Okay, it's not going to work for us.
I ended up staying with him a little longer than I should have, and partially because I think I had also just moved in with him, so I was thinking
it wasn't convenient to move out, right?
It wasn't convenient to move out, I regret it so deeply, just like putting so much energy into that, and then finding out from other people later like what he was really like when I wasn't around was just like a little humiliating, because it was also at my graduate school and he wasn't a student there, so it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's,
disaster.
That sounds like a painful experience. But speaking of moving out, I know you were a reason that one of the Hollows artists moved out.
I mean, we are not naming names and all gossip. It's
yeah, it's
very
artist,
unethical.
Artist X.
Yes, Artist X. What about him or her?
So tell me about that story. What happened? Did you guys try to collaborate? Or you fell in love with each other and it didn't work out?
I mean, I can answer if you like.
Please answer.
So, yeah, I mean, there are 8 bedrooms at the moment, and everybody's gorgeous and healthy and young and powerful, and things can happen, but I think everybody's, as Ari just said, everybody's really firstly and foremostly married to their practice. So, I think everybody's friend first, and then the sparks come after.
Yeah, so tell me about those sparks. Carol's here on What Is Love Show. Give me some juice. Give me some love.
Well, according to Pearl, there's one room that has the most action, and I was next adjacent to that room, and the person who was next door to me also kind of had like a steady slew of girls who would come by, but I think like sometimes I'm a little... I think he's quite moody. I mean, he's fundamentally a good person, but he's very intense, and I think maybe he was like turned on by like a kind of matching intensity. But he'd be like, "Oh, what are you doing? Are you in the studio? Like, how come you never hang out with me?" And it wasn't anything personal, just because I was going back and forth between New Jersey and New York all the time, and he just kept showing up and wanting to chat, and it was great. But then he would say things like, "Why are you shouting at me?" Like, "I'm just talking to you, dude. Like, chill out." Or he also made comments like, "I'm possessed." But anyway, he asked me out.
He was possessed with you?
Well, he said possessed by what? I don't know. I didn't want to find out.
He was just possessed.
Yeah.
Like, you're possessed by Santa Claus.
Yeah, I didn't want to have, like, an exorcist moment in the Hollows. Like, I tried
Should.
To... That's a little unsexy.
Can you imagine Santa Claus is just coming out?
That'd be awesome.
You see, you probably have missed out on a very nice experience.
Yeah, he's a
Santa Claus exorcist.
Yeah, huh.
Anyways, going back to real life.
Yeah. So he had asked me out, and I said no quite bluntly. I told him, like, I don't date people that I live with, one, and especially not where I have my studio so close, because I feel that my studio is a really sacred space. And I really prefer to keep the energy, like, very light
and
accessible. Like, I never want to feel a hindrance from me going there.
Ari has principles.
I don't.
We all do. Come on.
You see me in action.
Wait, what action? What am I missing out on? What action? Wait, so what happened with the boy? Come on, guys. We live in New York. My heart is breaking knowing that somebody had to move out and be on the street. Because of love. I know love powerful. I don't want to love to make people homeless.
I mean, what's that word? Is it chaste? Like chastity?
Chastity.
Okay, I think we are that. Like, because, you know, as we said, you make art, and there's, of course, you have your responsibilities for the media or medium or the artistry or political concerns. But I think... when you make art, I think there's a person that you sort of illustrate in your mind when you make. For example,
You produced a few artworks yourself, Piero. could you tell us more about what was inspiring and leading you?
Yeah.
For going back to that image that you had on the, you know, back of your mind while you were creating.
Yeah, I mean, for example, I was talking about this with a couple of colleagues, and then I think everybody laughed. And I saw that in their faces. I think they totally agreed. When you write a paper, academic paper, you have the image of your professor reading the paper. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, you're thinking of your reader in mind. Yeah. Like, dear reader.
This is such an interesting question. Hold on a second. I need a few minutes here.
I said this to, I think, 3 or 4 people, and then 4 of them had the same facial expression and same smirk, laugh. So I think it's true.
Well, is it only true for heterosexual relationship? Like, what if my professor, let's say I'm a straight woman and my professor is female? Am I... You see, it's getting deeper. Well, I was in love with my professor in the college, so that kind of, yeah, I was totally thinking about him, not only when I was writing a paper, but is that, do you think it's true? I mean, Ariel, did you, when you create your work, right, you all, of course you have some inspirations from the artist community. Do you have the image in the back of your mind? When you
I have like my dream studio.
Besides Santa Claus, of course. I know he's the major guy.
Yeah, there's a dream studio, like kind of, there is like a archetype of a boyfriend in my head. This is true. Like this idea that like you find the feeling where you're like really, like not excited, but like anxious. Like I think anxiety is there's a positive anxiety that's kind of like a motivator. And to get, you don't think so?
I hate anxiety.
Maybe anxiety is not the word.
I kind of agree. I just,
like an excitement, maybe. That kind of like a butterfly excitement. And it makes you a little bit like uneasy, but there's something that's kind of dangerous and sexy about it at the same time. And so you like, maybe you think like, oh, I'm going to be with my work like on a Friday night. And then you think, no, that's like my lover or something. I mean, that's kind of maybe the point where I am. Sorry, I have a very weird perspective.
No, this is very interesting. I'm just like, whoa, holy shit, I didn't know that. No, continue.
I mean, also because I make costumes a lot, I think too, like,
imagine how those costumes will look like on
actual
people.
How they will
people.
Flatter the body, or what it will accentuate in the body, and then what is it communicating? So much of our style is based about, I mean, we really are animals, creatures in a way. And like, there's a really amazing show that happened a few years ago at the Met called The Wild Show at the Costume Institute. And it mostly is about like bioavailability and fertility and the animal world and how humans use codes of dress to communicate those same instincts.
Yeah, right. We kind of talked about this earlier. And I think Phil mentioned to me when we met on Friday, we were both very excited about the show and wanted to chat a bit. She mentioned that to her, every art is the revelation of your sexual energy. Like it always ties to some sort of libido or sexual energy, as I said.
I think I always like accentuate some weird sexual part of the body. Like always I have something on the crotch or the butt that's like quite noticeable. And I didn't realize it until a little later, like, or on the boobs, like, that I was kind of like fetishizing these areas of the body, like until I went back and looked at all these costumes that I had made from a photo shoot. But then I also think like a lot of love in a studio practice is dictated by scheduling.
Right, so going back to the relationship between artists, right, and just kind of intaking everything you've said, do you think that when artists fall in love, not necessarily fall in love, but when they form some sort of intimate relationship with each other, there's always this kind of cocky presentation of themselves. Not so cocky, but there's the element of self-presentation is more vivid than in just regular, you know, interactions, mm-hmm. not artist interactions.
I mean, living with so many artists, I realize there's so much self-love and love for your environment, love for your space in artists. I think most of the artists are also very great in art of living. Like other people maybe would use their apartments as hotels, leave for work, come home, maybe drink and sleep. But yeah, I think most of the artists, they wake up, they do some sort of self-care practice, like routine, and then they're tidy.
Here, a question to you. Do you think that the physical, the spatial and physical proximity of people living together forces them to, again, it's going back to self-presentation, right? It's one thing when I live by myself, right? And I can, I don't know, go and fart in my living room and don't brush my teeth, whatever. I'm not doing that, I promise. I don't fart and I brush my teeth. But the fact that you live with other people who in some way or another see you and observe you and watch you, does that make you, make you take more care of yourself?
I think so, yeah. I think people are very social, are social creatures, and it's hard to get depressed when you're surrounded by aspiring, determined, creative people with lots of power to create.
Yeah, also I think because of the way the townhouse is situated, like it's literally right off the street and the sidewalk. Like you're aware there were
right guys who haven't been to the Hollows. It's right on the Bedford Avenue and Norris 9th, right? So it's the Williamsburg. It's the heart. Mm-hmm. It's right when you get off the L train. So it's basically once you're out of the door, you're
on the catwalk.
You're out there. You're in the world with the, yeah, exactly. With all the tourists and people. Tourists are also people. Hope so. So continue, please.
Yeah, I think because of the proximity of the townhouse, like right onto the sidewalk, I think also you're very aware about how like the house is like a body organ in a way, and how like it's like an organ off the artery of Brooklyn or something. I can't find the way to describe it accurately at the moment, but just like the skin between the house and the street is almost like a little non-existent. Like people also come into the space at the weekend to view the gap, what's on in the gallery too. So it's not that you ever get total privacy, but the sense you're very aware that you're living in a communal space.
Exactly, and I want to tie this back to what you said earlier, that when you work with, and every artist works with their tools and the materials and the ideas, they're trying to get to the raw of that and to like the authenticity of that. But now living in the heart of Brooklyn, heart of Mae Williamsburg, with 8 other artists in the same physical space, and without having total privacy, like how authentic and raw that experience of art creation can be. Like, maybe you can compare the times when you just create in your own studio, in your own house, in your own apartment, versus the time when you create alongside of other artists, let's say in the example of the Hollows, if you could relate to that.
And if I'm in the Hollows and I'm working on something and I'm unsure, I'll ask someone, like the first person I can find, which is a really great opportunity, and the fact that everyone comes from a different medium, they have a very different perspective. And also they might have a suggestion materially that I did not even consider.
Yeah, I understand, like, maybe, you know, the romantic idea of renting a cabin and writing your book in isolation. But I think the more reflection or, reaction you have to your art, I think, time accelerates. Yeah, for example, I'm listening to a song that is so different from the other artists listening to, and that makes me think how different our moods are, and then that gets me to thinking about other things.
All right, I'd like to take a short music break, and I want to, since we've talked a lot about collaboration, and since I love Michael Jackson, I want to play the "Love Never Felt So Good" song. I know some people hate Justin Timberlake, but it's not about Justin Timberlake, it's about Michael Jackson in this case, and it's about collaboration. And we'll be back with you guys in a few minutes. This is What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. And we are expecting your calls at 718-928-9732 right after the music break.
Come on, come on, come on, dance. see you move.
Hello, this is What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Sasha Sugar, and I have two amazing guests today, Peril and Errol, whom I'm discussing the love between artists and the love between artists and art with on today's show. If you have a question, please call us on 718-928-9732, or if you have your own perspective or your own experience you'd like to share, we are happy to listen to that. So going back to, I mean, we've talked about so many things, and I'm trying to wrap my head around how art and how specifics of artistic tools and the spatial proximity of artists living together affect their relationship and the forming of intimate relationships. So in the Romanian 10-15 minutes, I'd like to focus on that.
Yeah.
Maybe Peril, you've run the house for how many years?
Yes, yeah, since 2014.
So it's been 3 years. So have you, how many relationships have you witnessed in these 3 years? And then, and I'm talking about intimate relationship. I mean, come on, we are all friends here. Let's be serious.
We didn't have couples forming. We had 3 divorces and... No,
oh, okay. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I think in New York there is this. People in New York are quite success-driven, or after self-actualization, that there's not much time for casual love or play.
Probably there is more time for casual play than for anything substantial.
Yeah, like when I, for example, when I travel, I realize how it's so different when people are not, they don't need to make so much money or they don't need to be successful. There is a shift in motivation in the daily life.
Yeah. How do you see that? You see people...
Like people kissing on the streets.
Oh, yeah. I kiss on the street. I just don't have anyone to kiss, but if I had one, I would be kissing them on the street. Mm. But I know what you mean. In New York, it's not cool to show your feelings. It's not cool, yeah, to rely on your partner. It's cool to be on your own kind of thing. But the artists that you house in the Hollows, they're not from New York. You know, they actually... from all over the world, right?
Yeah, and I mean, there's pressure.
There's pressure.
Also, there's love for art supplies. There are so many things to buy in New York. So the first week is usually buying things that they will leave for our commons cabinet. But yeah, I think being together and proximity is something important. As we say, art is some... like mark making, like your sexual drive, the residue of it. But there's also something about the process of making art. Like, so people who live together at the Hollows also see each other doing it, not only the end result, the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so I think we are very chaste. So. People.
You're sex sober.
Yes.
Is that what
I mean? Yeah, it's it can be hard, but I think we are all friends.
It's true, but Max and I are often talking about like whatever.
Wait, so hold on, I haven't understood. So I didn't get. Did you have a lot of experience? Well, not you personally, but did you witness a lot of experiences of forming intimate and probably sexual relationship between artists or not?
Because no, on contrary. Okay. Less than I expected.
So it's not like a hippie commune.
No, we just have one thing that we can call ourselves hippie. We don't have shower curtain. So there's a...
Enter the garden in the back. There's no curtain there either.
Yeah, just that.
So if someone walks in on you, they could either see you walk like... There's no protection from them seeing you in the bath, in the tub, or in the shower. And then there's also no protection from someone seeing you in the garden, which the bathroom looks directly out onto the garden from, like, it's one level above it.
And so far, really, only one person asked about it. Everybody's cool.
So you would think that the focus on art creating and trying to be successful in New York is the main reason why artists... try not to form any relationship, any intimate relationship at the residency? Will that be a legit assumption?
I guess everybody would try to get themselves out of the situation because... So if you do, you automatically move in together.
Because you already kind of live together.
Yeah.
Well, you could save up some rent if you just moved in from two rooms into one room, but then Peter would stay without money. So yeah, guys, artists who live at the Hollows, please don't move in into one room because we don't want to leave Peter without an additional income. All right, Ariel, what about you? Have you? Because, you know, Peter, she is the curator, the director. She's kind of the authoritative figure in the house, so maybe there is something going on that she's not aware of, but you know. And again, no names, you can just say A, B, C, D.
There's nothing at the moment that's going on that I'm not aware of, but there has been times where it's like, dude, he was having sex really loudly late last night with like music going. And I'm like, well, was it? I mean, I actually had someone over that night, so I was like, no, we stopped around like 1. Like, if that person started 3 or 4, I was long gone by then. But I didn't really want housemate X, the one who had liked me, to run into him in the morning, so I kind of kicked him out. I felt a little bad, but I was like, you need to go now. Bye. And, but again, there's not too much that I don't think Pearl's not aware of, because also like the house is a like kind of like a very much, I would still call it like a body, or like that, not that the walls breathe, but like, for example, if the guy whose room next door to me was getting intimate, another housemate who I'm very fond of, but like I did hear a lot more than I had intended to hear. But I'm glad, you know, I think sexual energy is really important too. And
yeah, that's why people go to Burning Man. They say they go
I don't need to go to Burning Man. The room next door, the most active energy room, is enough.
It's a local Burning Man.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's definitely the heat. They don't need heating on in there. No, I think a lot of people are really there for their work primarily, and if love happens to happen, I think we're more likely to seek out romance outside of that space, because, and again, like, we have to see each other, we have to communicate, and that kind of hostility that comes from falling out with someone just really wrecks, can be a real Debbie Downer. And it's kind of like, not that everyone is always trying to be chill, but that's like not in, getting booty bummed in that way is really not, I don't know, it's not sexy.
Maybe one juicy thing, like one observation.
What is that?
One statistics.
Okay.
Like, I realize, I mean, no names again, just younger people have more sex, really. Would you think?
Yeah, okay. The sun is hot, the winter is cold, Pearl. Thanks so much for your observation. Okay.
Yeah, but also,
I didn't know.
I think
yeah, and Trump sucks. Yeah, exactly.
No,
not fake news.
That we think like love is unconditional, but love is highly conditional. In fact, like, or the idea that like love is eternal or forever, and really it can be quite finite. Like it has a due by date sometimes, or so I think like as you get older, you have less patience for interference with your life that deviates you from your path.
Like higher standards?
Oh, yeah.
And you're just more comfortable with yourself, and you know more what you do, what you like, what you want from life.
And
you're
haunted,
don't let
and
any...
you're haunted by the memories of previous ones. No?
Tell me about it. Tell me more about it. What memories are haunting you, Piero?
No, it's not a clean slate anymore.
What?
It's not a clean start anymore?
Slate.
What is slate?
Oh, isn't it an expression?
Like a tabula rasa. Like it's not a blank document. There's things that are on it. And
I don't know. Maybe it's also
so you
a buddy thing.
Are you bringing all that luggage with you into the new intimate experiences?
Maybe you expect more. And yeah, you know what you want. And maybe also it's a buddy thing. Like better blood circulation.
And smells changing for sure, like our pheromones, like we communicate so much by smell, like you go, oh, that person smells like amazing, but you don't,
what the hell are you talking about? What is going on here?
It's not, you don't think about pheromones, like dogs are always communicating by like
we're not
smell.
Dogs
no but I think we do it too, but we're not aware of it. Like you can tell someone's fertility by their smell.
I definitely don't like when people don't take shower, and I'm gonna say that to them, but I'm just kidding. I totally get it. And there's actually science behind it. That if we are on some biological level distracted or not attractive to a smell of another person, that's it. No love's gonna happen there.
Yeah.
Ariel, have you been, are you in love right now? Have you been recently in love?
Yeah, I can. I am.
I can. I'm glad you can. I mean, you're too young to think if you can or not.
What about you, Sasha?
We're not talking about that right now. Let's go back to the house. Are you in love with an artist?
I don't know.
You don't know if he's an artist or she's
I don't
an artist?
Know.
Or do you know, like, not sure of, like, how, like, how true that love is or how serious yet?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You're not comfortable talking about it?
I don't know what he's doing at the moment.
Have you felt any intimate relationship to one of your, or some of your residents? Without necessarily letting them know about it and being vocal about it, but did you feel like, oh, I actually like that guy, and I'd be, under other circumstances, I'd love to go on a date with him?
I mean, yeah, it happened once.
just once in 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of people you invite into your residency? I feel like I do fall in love with every second guest.
I see. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting because it is a very interesting relation.
Yeah.
So is it roommate? Is it dad? Is it that? Yeah.
But yeah, you are a landlord, but you're also an artist fellow.
No, I don't think about that because I see myself at the moment as a resident because, like, for example, there are certain days where I don't even touch the emails, you know? So I see myself as one of the residents. But it's interesting relationship just because of living and working together. Just like... we said, what if you become an item, then it's automatically, you are sort of, like in Turkish, there's a saying, like when you get married, it's you get housed, you know, you automatically are in the same house, so it's very, very interesting bond.
All right, well, thanks for sharing, girls. We have about 2 minutes left, and is there anything you would like to say to the audience out there who are artists and who are considering to live at an artist residency for quite some time?
I want to thank you, Sasha, because this is a very big topic. Yeah,
thanks so much for coming. It's actually, it got me more, I think, interested once I decided on this topic, because I wanted to have you on the show, but after I started thinking about it, I've realized how complex and actually really interesting is it. And I, for some reason, I was thinking that whoever comes to Hollows, they just, you know, fuck all day long. And yeah, that's not what happened to Hollows.
No.
Do you have any events upcoming?
Yes, we do have next Friday an opera singer, a contemporizing opera. It's very interesting.
Oh, wow.
He's designing like a technological show where he is speaking even to Siri in opera singing.
Yeah. Siri is a good girl. You know, yeah. She helps you out in lonely days.
And also Ari is going to start her costume shop, Cleopatra's Needle.
When is that?
It will be starting, I believe, in the summertime. So we still are kind of working out the dates, but just the idea of a boutique concept experience with costumes.
All right, guys, so go on Facebook, find The Hollows, and Pirlo's posting about all upcoming events. I've been there myself quite a few times. The exhibitions and events are very, very diverse, so I'm sure all of you will find something relevant for you and very interesting. And don't try to hit on the artists at The Hollows, because the purpose why they come to New York and Brooklyn is to work and create art. Please stay with us on Radio Free Brooklyn. This was Sasha Sugar, and the next show is run by Amanda and Angelica. It's Empty Orchestra. It's a karaoke show. And yes, I don't know how to pronounce karaoke, but it's karaoke show. Radio Free Brooklyn, we love you all. Stay with us and have a great Sunday afternoon.